Good evening. I am so grateful to be here. I know this is home. It will always be home for us. When we first got to America 40 years ago, can you imagine? 40 years ago, when we came here, we didn't know anybody. We didn't know where to go get anything. So we looked into the yellow pages, and there was KCC. It said where everybody is somebody, and Jesus is Lord. That caught our attention. Little did we know that was the Lord. So we came, and the very first day we came here, there was a couple sitting somewhere. It was a different building, the old building. Yeah, they were sitting somewhere in the congregation. I had a baby who was like 10 months, and so I went to the nursery because my baby would not accept anybody. Joanne would not accept anybody. I went to the nursery, and there was this lady who was so sweet, and she said, "I want you to meet my husband." But at the same time in the congregation, her husband, when they said, "Who are the first-time visitors?" and my husband stood, he looked at him and he thought, "I am going to get to know this man." So somebody in the congregation, and he said it had never happened to him before, it never happened to him ever since. Somebody in the congregation went, and when they were greeting each other, put a $50 bill in his hands, in David's hands, and David thought, "I'm going to take that man to lunch." And Becky, his wife, was in the nursery thinking, "I need to introduce this couple to my husband." So that's how we met David and Becky, and we ended up in their small group, and Victory Group at that time we called it. And we became, KCC became our family. We learned a lot, a lot. The foundation of the Word of God was built up here. I got to know the Word of God truly because of listening to the man of God teaching. I began to take notes, and then on Sundays, my family knew, when we finished church, I sat 4 or 5 hours, went through every scripture, and for the first time, I could hear my father talking to me. I sat, and it wasn't just the Bible. It was my father speaking to my heart. I got to know him intimately. So that's how our journey began. And tonight I want to share with us on how to know him intimately. You know, when a Roman Catholic, you call them Catholics here, when Catholics hear prayer, they think, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you," right? When Protestants hear prayer, they go, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And most of the time it's repetition of something they have learned from when they were little children, right? If you think about when we pray for food, you will hear the same words almost repeated by everybody. One day I sat down with my family and we were they said, "Mom, can you pray for food?" And I did. And we finished praying and everybody started eating. And the Spirit of God said to me, "What did you just do?" And when the Lord asks you a question, it's not that he doesn't know the answer. He's bringing you to a certain attention. And I said, why? I had repeated words. I had not talked to him. I just said what I always said. And he brought it to my attention. Prayer is not just what we have called it. Prayer is conversation with God. It's conversation with the person. It's conversation with your father. You are conversing with the person. He wants your attention when you are talking to him, just as when somebody is talking to your spouse and they are doing something else. Do you know what you do? "Hey, I'm talking to you. Am I the only one? Because you realize they are talking to you, or you're talking to them, but you are not having a conversation. God is not different. Prayer is not a task. Prayer is not a duty. Prayer is relational. You are relating with your Father. So tonight, let's talk about, according to the Word of God, how He wants us to talk to Him heart to heart, spirit to spirit, so that when you finish conversing with Him, even throughout the day, you will remember what the two of you talked. Anybody wants to go on the journey with me?
Amen.
Amen. We have been called into a life of intimate relationship with God, the Father. We have not just been called to live a life of faith only, just to serve the Lord. We are called into intimacy in the fellowship of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. The greatest blessing of your life is not to serve the Lord, but to know the Lord intimately, to know His heart. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, He said, "Let us make man in our likeness, after our image." Do you know what He's saying? I want someone who is like me, that I can talk to, that I can relate to, that I can have a oneness with, someone that can be family to me. So you are of the household of God. It's like a father and their children. They relate, they talk, they fellowship, right? So the ability to be with Him, to have Him identify us, show us who we are, to know Him, and to be known by Him is what life is about. We were not created to do. We were created to be. You are a human being, not a human doing. You are your Father's child. He longs time with you, not ritual with you. He longs, when you talk, for you to know Him, and for Him to know you. John chapter 17, verse 3, the Amplified Classic says, "And this is eternal life. It means to know, to perceive, to recognize, to become acquainted with." And that means to be in agreement with and understand you, the only true and real God, and likewise, to know Him, Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, whom you have sent. In essence, He's saying, eternal life begins the moment you are born again. You begin a journey of knowing Him, of Him unveiling Himself to you, because when you know Him, you know you. Why? You are made in His image. You are made in His likeness. So when you know Him, you are knowing Him. You are knowing you. When you know that He is love, and you know now He dwells in you, you know love dwells in you, right? When you know His love and love dwells in you, when you come to a situation, you become aware, I am love. I have become love. I have no other way to respond except to love. You are allowing Christ in you to be reflected and expressed. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It's not just Bible verses, it's life. When you know that He is gracious, He is full of grace, and you come to a situation that's sticky, if you depend on Agnes, the old me, I am going to be sticky. But if I realize that I am in Him and He is in me, and that I'm made in his likeness and his image, that I'm a new creation, that old things have passed away, that I'm as gracious as my Father. The time I've spent with him, I've come to know that him and me are one, because he says, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. So when I know that, guess what? Grace flows out of me effortlessly. So I grow into him just because I'm spending time with him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Prayer is supposed to change you from the inside out. The time you spend with your Father is the time when change happens. You don't have this, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, he says, as we continue to, with unveiled face, Jesus Christ took the veil away, with unveiled face, as we continue to behold him, we are being transformed from one glory to another by the Spirit of God. You are not changing yourself. You're not transforming yourself. The more you see him, the more you understand him, the more change comes by the Spirit of God into the same image. The same way he is, you become. As he is, so are you in this world, not when you go to heaven. Time spent with him is precious. That's where you are transformed. Listen, I know we do have needs. And many times we go with our needs list. Forgive me if I will step on your toe. But sometimes we make him like a vending machine. We stick in our coin, we get our Coke. Father, I need, thank you, bye. Until next time when I have a need, I'll come and stick my. He didn't create you to meet your needs. He created you because he longs for your fellowship. He loves fellowship with you. He longs to show you who you are. He alone knows who you are. He says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. He says in Psalms 139, he says, all the days of your life were written before me, before there was any. While as yet there was, before your mom and dad came together, he knew you. He ordained you to be able to be an expression of him here on earth. Nobody else on earth has the same features like you. We've talked about it. Nobody has your hair. Nobody has your voice. Nobody has your fingerprints. Why? Because you alone can express God the way you alone can express him. There's nobody that has been, or anybody who will come, or those who were, that can express God the way you express God. You are a gift to this world by being you in him. The time you spend with him is to know him so you can know you and so you can be you. John chapter 10, verse 14 to 15. By the way, what time am I to stop? Because I've got so much, and that's tomorrow morning. John chapter 10, verse 14 to 15. There is a version I've found. It's called the Passion Translation. I have come to realize, because English is not my language, when I read the Bible, I read several translations. Why? Because I want to milk what is in that word. I want to squeeze the juice and get every little bit of it into my spirit. So I find myself reading different translations. And sometimes One translation will say it just the way it goes into my spirit. So you're coming into my Bible study a little bit right here. And I'm going to share with you several versions that have spoken to my heart. Is that okay? Okay. So the Passion Translation says, I alone, I am the good shepherd. And I know those whose hearts are mine, for they recognize me and know me. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? They recognize me and they know me. He says you recognize him and you know him. Just as my Father knows me and I know my Father's heart. Hold on. Hold on. This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking. He says, I'm going to get to know him like he knew the Father. I'm going to know his heart like he knew the Father's heart. Do you think Jesus ever lied? Talk to me. Did Jesus ever lie? Did he speak the truth? Do you hear what he's saying about you? So you know when I read Bible verses like this, I don't go along and just read and close the Bible. I make it a prayer. I say, Father, I thank you that you have said in your word, I'm getting to know you and know your heart just like Jesus Christ knows you and knows your heart. So, Lord, I receive whatever spirit of knowledge and revelation is needed for me to know you. So this time we are spending together, reveal yourself to me. So I have taken that word. Now that word has become my prayer, and it is according to his will, right? And we know if we ask anything according to his will, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him, right? So I know that revelation is being given to me. He's revealing himself to me for me to know him. Amen? So he says, just as my Father knows me and I know my Father's heart, I know my sheep, they know me and they know my heart. Do you hear what he's saying? You can know his heart. You can see how he sees. For instance, when you see a homeless man or when you see somebody, a prostitute on the street, you have been trained as an old creation in this world to look at them and think, oh, poor things. That's not how your Father sees them. Your Father sees, oh, let me ask you a question before I tell you what your Father sees. When you go to Walmart, do you pay the same price for your toothpaste as you pay for your smart TV screen? Talk to me. We are talking. Do you pay the same price? Why? Different value, right? Did God Almighty pay the same price for the homeless man as he paid for the White House man? Why? Same value. So when you look at a homeless man, the same price was paid for him like the man in the White House. He doesn't look at people like we do. He looks at people. He knows their value. He knows their identity. He knows the purpose he created them for. And he knows if they would know him, they would fulfill their destiny. So when you have been in prayer with him, when you have been in conversations with him, you begin to see people very different. When somebody comes on I-40 and crosses you, instead of thinking the way you used to think when you were an old creation, when you have been in his presence, when you have begun to know him, you realize that man, if they knew my Father, they wouldn't be doing what they are doing. So out of your mouth, you find yourself saying, Father, send laborers to speak to this man that they will know you, and so they can behave different. They can behave like they were created to behave. Instead of getting home and saying, do you know what that did? No, 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 no. And 5 minutes later, you're still steaming. That's the old you. You are a new creation. You look like your father. You talk like your father. You think like your father. You are your father's child. Spend time with him so you can see the way he sees. Because you know your father's heart, you begin to see eye to eye with him concerning mankind and concerning every other issue. You know, when you come to him with the need, when you come to him with fear, when you come to him in despair, when your focus is that, you miss the whole point of conversation. Do you think it took God by surprise that you needed something? Talk to me. We're talking.
No.
No. Do you think God knew you would need that before he created you?
Yes.
Ah. So when you come to God, don't come to him to tell him what the problem is only. Come to him to get the solution from him.
Hallelujah.
Don't live without hearing his heart. You know, people stop praying because they say it doesn't work. They say it doesn't work because they come and talk, and leave. Next day they come, talk, and leave. Let me ask you, married people, if every time your spouse came, talked, and left, talked, and left. What would happen? Talk to me. What would happen? Say it loud. You communicate, right? Each one of us knows how God talks to you. You know how God talks to you. You know when you're reading the Bible, you say, it dawned on me. That Bible verse, oh, it dawned on me. You know the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, right? Why are you here today? Somewhere, somehow, there was a pull for you to come. And you knew in your heart it would be the best place to be would be at KCC. You know in your heart of hearts how he talks to you. So when you go in prayer, give him that opportunity to do that to you. Whether it is an impression, whether it is a thought, whether it is the word, whether it is whatever it is that he talks to you. The two of you know each other so well. Why? Because you came from him. You told me that Jesus never lied, right?
Amen.
He said, my sheep hear my voice. The voice of the stranger, they do not follow.
Yeah.
So, Lord Jesus, I thank you that I'm your sheep. I thank you that I hear your voice. I thank you that the voice of the sickness, the voice of despair, the voice of lack, the voice of strife, I do not follow. I just follow your voice. So you are talking to your father and you are saying to him, you are affirming, you are relating to the word he has given you, that you hear his voice. You keep speaking to him that way. Do you know that you will be hearing him everywhere you go? Because that still small voice starts to become louder and louder because you have received what he said. When you read the word, don't just read. Relate the word back to him. That's conversation. That's conversation. He said that to you, that my sheep hear my voice. You say it back to him. Thank you that I'm your sheep and I hear your voice. And the voice of the stranger, I will never follow. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You find you don't just do the morning when you pray, but you find throughout the day you are conversing with him. When you at work and there is an issue, you don't just look at an issue and say, I don't know what to do. You realize he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30, he said, Jesus Christ has been made wisdom unto us. So wisdom is residing on the inside of you. Wisdom himself dwells on the inside of you. Don't just pull away by saying, I don't know. Father, I thank you that you said Jesus Christ, the Son that you sent for me, dwells on the inside of me. And he's made unto me wisdom. So I thank you that I have the wisdom to know these things. My head might not know what is going on. My spirit knows. Because you have said, I have an unction from the Holy One. And I know all things. Because I know all things, because of the one who dwells on the inside of me, I will know. And you have just opened yourself for him to bring the knowing to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have a teenager who is going rampant. People with teenagers, they know. And so, instead of saying, I don't know what to do with this child, what is your father, what did your father say to you about your child? He said, your children are taught of the Lord. God himself is saying, I'm going to teach them. So you say, Father, you said my children are taught of the Lord. This little Jason here is taught of you. Great is their peace and undisturbed composure. You are not moved by what they are saying or what they are doing. You are moved by the one who dwells on the inside of you. You keep speaking life, agreeing with your heavenly Father. Do you know you are praying right there? Conversation with God. Father, I thank you that the seed of the upright is delivered. My child is delivered from such and such. You're talking to your heavenly Father. Where is your focus? Is it the child? No. Your focus is your Father. Whenever you go to pray, don't let the problem be the focus. Don't let the despair be the focus. Let him be the focus, because you want to know what he's thinking about that thing. If you go with fear as the focus, it won't be prayer. It will be fear with the language. You will speak and you leave, you are still afraid. But when you focus on him and you hear him say, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, Father, thank you that even in this situation, I know I am not afraid. You are upholding me. You said you will never leave me or forsake me. I might not feel it. Truth is greater than feeling. Don't ever rely on your feelings. Truth is bigger than feeling. Amen. So, Father, I don't feel anything right now, but I thank you because your word says, and your word is truth. Hallelujah. The greatest grace is to be with him, to know him, to know his heart, to see from his heart's perspective. Daniel chapter 11 verse 32. It says, the last part of that Bible verse says, but the people who know their God shall prove themselves strong and shall stand firm and do exploits. The King James says, the people who know their God shall be. Everybody say, be. I'm a human being. Say, I'm a human being. I'm not a human doing. Let your doing stem from your being. Don't ever do anything that doesn't come from your being. You are a new creation, right? Old things have passed away. The new has come. What new things have come? You are the righteousness of God. God has made you right with himself. He sees you with no guilt, no shame, no condemnation. He sees you pure, holy, and blameless. Why? So you can converse with him with nothing holding you back. So stand there and say, Father, I thank you for making me pure, for making me holy, for making me without guilt or shame. Thank you for taking all that away so that I can come before you and so boldly I can come to the throne with confidence. I can come and obtain, receive mercy when I mess up and grace to help me when I need grace to help me. Talk to him. Talk to him what he has said to you. Relate back his word to him. You are speaking his language. He's speaking your language. You find that your language changes. When men say there is a putting down, you say there is a lifting up. Why? Because you are not depending on you. You are depending on the one who dwells on the inside of you. You are in Christ and Christ is in you. He cannot fail. You heard our pastor speak the word. He says, he always causes you to triumph. Always. You speak that back to him. Father, I thank you that you always cause me to triumph. While failure is looking around you like, this time you're going to fail. This time you're going. No, because he always causes me to find. You focus on him. Father, I thank you because you always cause me to triumph. I thank you that you have made me more than a conqueror. I thank you that I can run through a troop and leap over the wall because of you. Because you are the strength of my life. You are conversing with God. You are conversing with God. It's not a one morning, 2 1 hours, half an hour. It's a throughout the day. You find that throughout the day, he's your constant companion. You get to a place that solitude is not that when there is no people. Solitude is when your inner core can lock into him. Everybody's around you doing activity, but you and him, you know exactly what he's saying at that point. You know what he's doing at that point. You know what he's heading to at that point. But there's everybody and there's activity. But you have learned to lock in with him. That's conversation. Sometimes you don't have to say a word. You know. You're just sitting in each other's presence. You know. The most impactful times is when just you and him are in a room, just the two of you, is when you really get to know him. That's when you really get to know his heart. That's when you really get to know how he feels about you, about the situations, about your family, about your children. Some things take years, but you know what? Like Abraham, you consider not. Why? Because he had heard from a God he trusted. He said, I'm fully persuaded. Why was he fully persuaded? He had had moments, Abraham and God alone. Those who know their God shall be strong. Strength just ebbs from the knowing him. And then you do exploits. Now, you know Paul was the guy who wrote like one third of the New Testament, right? Do you know what was his greatest quest? Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 to 10. Long thing. In essence, he's saying that I may know him. If you start from, you don't have to go there, I'm just saying, if you read from verse 3, from verse 5, Paul is saying, I am an Israelite. of the tribe of Benjamin. He said, I was dedicated on the eighth day. I was made a Pharisee. He studied under the biggest Gamaliel name. That time it was the name of the names. He said, concerning the law, I was blameless. He was top of the line of his people. But he didn't know him. He studied about him, but he didn't know him. You can know about God and not know him. There is a big difference. You can know about God. You can study about God. You can have a PhD, DDD, and DDDs. But if you do not know him, when issues of life come, you can tell if the person knows about him or if they know him. What did I do wrong? What went wrong? How did this happen? Is God mad about me? They know about God. Because when you know him, when you know his heart, when stuff come, you say, I know in whom I have believed. This too shall pass. This too shall turn into a testimony. I know he is with me. He will never leave me or forsake me. I know that he loves me. I know his love is everlasting towards me. He will not leave me now. He will walk with me. If I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. I know that your Holy Spirit and your word, they are comforting me. When luck shows up, you say, you know what? Because I'm seeking you first, I know that all these things will be added unto me. I know that surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, because you said it. I know that there is no better yesterday. Why? Because the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter and brighter until the noonday. So I'm not chasing anything, because I know that they come and overtake me. I'm not chasing them. My focus is him. If I focus on him, all these things will be added unto me. Pastor said, are you rich? I am beyond rich. Yeah. Why? It's not the material accumulation of things. I've got the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Yeah. If tax money is needed, there is a fish. There is stuff in his mouth. If 5,000 people needs to be fed, there is a loaf of bread there. And 2 fishes. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You are beyond rich. Don't ever look at a millionaire, a billionaire, and think, oh my goodness, they are wealthy. They can be wealthy in money, but poor in health. I have salvation. Salvation means I am whole. I am sound. I am delivered. I am protected, preserved. I have divine health. I am prosperous. I am completely, I am everything, soteria. I am everything the Bible says I am. So who is rich? The man with $1 million in the bank, or the person who's got the one who has the cattle on 1,000 hills? Don't you ever call yourself poor. Remember, Jesus became 3 things so that you will never be. He became poor so that you would be made rich. He became a curse so that a curse will never come to you. Blessings only come to you. Do you understand? He became sin so you would become the righteousness of God. So don't you ever call yourself that he took away from you. Live in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Start where he finished. Paul says that I may know him and what he knows in his heart about me, about the situation, about my children, about my neighbors, that I may know him and know his heart. So there is an invitation from the Father for himself to unveil himself to us. Because you're going to go, how am I going to pursue him? How am I going to be looking for him? How am I going to know him? No problem. He wants to unveil himself to you. John chapter 14, verse 21. He says, the person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and will show, will reveal, will manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. When you read that, don't stop there. Say, Father, I thank you that I treasure your word. And because I treasure your word, because I prolong my time in your word, because I extend my time in your word right here tells me you will unveil yourself to me. You will reveal yourself to me. You will show yourself clearly to me. So I want to thank you that I will begin to see you clearly. I will begin to understand your heart. You understand what you're doing? You are relating with him. You are conversing with him. You are accepting what he's doing in you and through you. These 21 days of fasting, please don't do the Hail Mary. Please don't do the Our Father who is in heaven. Do a conversation, heart to heart. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12 to 13, King James Version. He says, then you shall call upon me. You shall go and converse with me. He says pray, but let's say you shall go and have a conversation with me, and I will hear you. You will seek me. When you want to know me, when you really want to seek for me, when now you come to have a conversation with me, he says you will find me. You will find me. Can God lie? So it means when you take time to be with him, he is availing himself 100% of himself to you. I will be found of you, says the Lord. I will be found of you. So, Father, I thank you that you have said in your word that when I seek you, like now I'm on my knees seeking you, I will find you. I thank you that you are unveiling yourself to me. Do you realize? I don't know how, but he knows how to unveil himself to you until you know beyond a shadow of doubt. You are not knowing about him. You are now knowing him and his heart. And you know, I'm sure if you have been in this church, you have heard this Bible verse many times. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, that God is real, that God exists. And then listen to what he says. He rewards them that diligently seek him. What does he reward them with? Himself. He rewards, he will reward you with himself. That's the greatest reward you can ever receive. Is now you and him are one. Hallelujah. I'm sure you are not, you can't wait to go to your house today and have just a sweet talk. Conversation. Throw away everything you have ever known, and every time you talk to him, have a conversation. Talk his language. When you read, it's him talking to you. Talk back to him, like I just showed you. How long have I been going? I don't want to worry you because I want you to come back tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. So, I think we will get to two more Bible verses and then we will close. James chapter 4. I'm just giving you Bible verses so that you will see it in your Bible and you will realize this is your Father talking to you. He says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Hey, hold on. Is God everywhere? Yes. All the time? Yes. So when he says, draw near to God, it's you he's talking to. Be conscious of me. Be aware of me because I'm always here. But because you are not conscious of me at all times, sometimes you kindly ignore me. So could you kindly draw near because I'm here? So at any time, anywhere, anytime, he is there. Just your awareness, just your consciousness. Sometimes when you are driving or when you are washing dishes or when you are vacuuming, just say, Father, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad I'm yours. I'm so glad I belong to you. And then continue with your stuff. And then after a while, just, Father, I thank you that you are my Father. I love the way you father me. I love the way you have made me a new creation. I thank you that I'm not the old person I used to be. I thank you that despair and frustration and all that stuff that I learned in Adam's household, I am not going to have those anymore. I'm putting them off. Lord, I'm putting on you. Oh, I'm putting on your grace. You are merciful, God. I'm merciful. You are love. I'm love. I've become love. I thank you that I've become merciful. I've become gracious. I thank you that I'm the righteousness of God. I thank you that I hear your voice and the voice of the strength. Just put on. Put off the old Adam. Do you know you were homeschooled in the wrong home? From when you were this high, you were homeschooled in the wrong home. Adam's home, fallen man's home. They didn't have to teach you. Have you ever seen a two-year-old? You have a jar of a cookie jar right there, and you go into the other room. And you open the door. What are you doing? Nothing. Nobody has taught him to steal. The Adamic nature, taught in the wrong household. But God came. He translated you from darkness and put you into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. He has put you in the household of God. He has put you in a new home. Now he says, learn Christ. Learn Christ. Let me tell you. Here is Judas Iscariot, ready to sell Jesus. Do you know what Jesus said? He said, friend, what you've got to do, do quick. Hold on. He's just about to bring havoc into your life. The other disciples never knew what he was talking about. They thought he was saying, go give money to the poor. He never exposed him to anybody. He says, lend him. Why? Because Jesus knew the heart of the Father towards every man. You remember little Zacchaeus up in the tree? Everybody was looking at a sinner. Everybody was looking at a tax collector, somebody who steals from people. When Jesus got there, because he knew his Father's heart, when he looked up, he saw a ripe harvest. He said, Zacchaeus, come down from there. The Bible does not tell us the conversation they had at Zacchaeus' house. But I bet you Jesus was just being Jesus, because when you saw him, you saw the Father. He was the visible representation of an invisible God. When you saw him, you were seeing God the Father in human flesh. So Zacchaeus had a conversation. They ate, looking at Jesus, listening to Jesus. He said, "Lord, everything that I've wronged, I'm going to give them 4 times. Why? Because he met the heart of the Father. Now he says, learn Christ. You are in a new household. Learn him. So you can grow into him in every way. Blessed be God. And our last Bible verse for today, Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. He says, call to me and I will answer you. Hold it. Is this God talking? He says, call and I will talk to me. I will
answer you.
Ah. He didn't say recite to me. He knows the difference when you recite and when you call. Does he? Yeah, he made you. He knows when it's coming from your heart or when it's coming from your head. He knows when it's coming from need, and he knows when it's coming from a desire to be with him. He says, I will show you great and mighty things. There are things you will never know until you are in his presence that he will unveil for you. Things about you, things about situations that you will never know until you really come to his presence because you want to be there. So, in his presence, your focus is on him. In his presence, your focus is on him. I'm going to say that one more time. In his presence, your focus is on your Father. It's not on the need. It's not on the problem. It's on him so he can give you what he's thinking about what you brought. If you leave his presence and you still are concerned about the issue as much as when you came in, you know you did not focus on him. Every time you come to him and you focus on him and he gives you his solution, his eyes to see that situation, you don't leave the way you came.